please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code Taskmaster to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hard-working day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide, from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code Taskmaster to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer. If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. The madness has officially begun, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props. MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie and use the promo code Taskmaster to secure a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's simple, folks. Put in $200 and play with $300. Just use the promo code Taskmaster and claim your bonus. College ball, NBA, and UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. And with the choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Just don't forget to use that promo code Taskmaster. Remember, you can bet anything, you can bet anytime, you can bet anywhere with MyBookie. Hello and welcome to Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I'm your host, JP John Paz. Of course, with me is the star of the show, the former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, the greatest mind and booker ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, JP. Very good. I'm visiting my daughter in Florida, so having a good time.
All right, and the topic of today is WCW Fall Brawl 1995. It's a big one. It's September 17th, 1995, Asheville, North Carolina, Asheville Civic Center, the attendance 6,600. The tagline, "Let the games begin." And of course, the pay-per-view buys, which was only 95K, which is surprising for a Hogan show that it only did 95,000K. It's got to be a little disappointing.
Yeah, I don't think that the Dungeon was strong enough to draw against them. I mean, we're going a different direction, making it a lot more real and legitimate, and not knocking any of the guys in the Dungeon, or I've told you a bunch of this was, to turn Hogan heel and for him to be comfortable with the guys he was working with, and that he do the right thing and turn heel. But we weren't nowhere near anywhere close to the Horsemen or anybody else at that point. So it was to get Hogan a win.
Yeah, I think that's the whole thing. Yes, it's Hogan, but maybe people weren't that into the Dungeon and that excited about that potential matchup. Yeah.
Right, I think that's exactly what it was. And it was also to show Hulk that, you know, what he drew with in New York wasn't going to draw in Atlanta.
Right, definitely, definitely. Now, originally on the team was supposed to be Big Van Vader, and they say Vader has now gone AWOL. But we know, as we kind of been talking about before, we've talked about this, Vader is gone, got fired because of the Paul Orndorff incident, right? Because the backstage fight?
Right, right. And, I mean, here's the crazy thing, JP. Vader got fired because he hit an employee. This is maybe just opened up something that we're thinking about. That fight with Orndorff and Vader was policed by the guys. I was there. I actually saw the whole thing. But he had hit an employee. So maybe there's going to be something in the lawsuit, if they have a lawsuit, about that. An employee being hit, because they're not just independent contractors, are they? The Bucks and Omega?
Nope. EVPs.
They're employees. What?
EVPs, they're employees, yeah, they're employees.
Right?
Yep.
So, okay.
What did happen, really, though, with Vader and Orndorff? Who instigated it? Was it Vader?
I know the whole situation. I hear people tell you that they saw it and they weren't there, okay? I guess Vader had gone to get some publicity pictures done, okay? I didn't know anything about it. And we were doing promos at the center stage. And the thing was, we were running very close to, for the, you know, the staff, the production people got to have their dinner before the show. And it was running very late. And Keith Mitchell said to me, you know, you got 15 minutes to get these done because I got a call for dinner. So I said to Paul, will you go get Vader and tell him I need him bad? Yeah, I said, Paul, I need him now. So he said, I'll go get him. He comes back and says, He said he'll be here when he's ready. I said, Paul, I need him right now. I got 10 minutes. Get these done. Paul goes off, and I said, I better go out and do this myself. I'm walking down the hallway, and then center stage, the hallway, one's on the right-hand side, if you walked in, with the dressing room. So on the other side, with the stairs going down in a diagonal, almost like a pyramid, right? I'm walking down there, and I see Paul. He's got his shorts on and flip-flops. These people that say he wasn't in flip-flops are full of shit. I see them talking, and I'm getting closer. And I see Vader look away, and Paul looks to where Vader's looking. Vader opens bare part of him in the face. Dropped him. Paul started to go down. He front face locked him and shoved him into a box where they had like a bunch of tools and different things. Well, I know Paul. I knew Paul very well. When they pulled him apart, I did something I've never told people about. I knew Paul would have killed himself if that fight ended that way. I said to the guy, some of the guys, let him go. And I told him to get their hands off of Paul. I didn't think he would jump on Vader, but they went at it. And Vader went for him. And he hit Vader with one punch with that bad arm perfectly on the jaw. It dropped him and kicked Vader in the head. Vader's head went back and his head actually touched his boots. He was cut in the face, bleeding badly. I got to give Leon credit. Everybody separated them, pushed them, Paul into a dressing room. Vader came in charge and said, let's go. He wasn't going to quit. And then Ming stepped in to both of them and said, that's it, no more. And they stopped. But that was a brutal fight, but Paul got the best of him, but Vader wasn't going to back down. And I mean, it was crazy. But that's why he got fired, because if there was just wrestlers, he wouldn't have got fired. He hit an employee. So maybe we've been wondering what's going to go on. Maybe there's something there that we don't know of.
So really, let's say Vader got in a backstage fight with somebody else, and
nothing would happen. Nothing would have happened.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Changed the course. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Buzz getting a couple of squabbles with guys. Don't want to say one of the guys' names. He's still doing some stuff. They got in a little squabble, and Buzz suplexed him, and I had to pull Buzz off of him. But everybody saw it. But nothing happened. And then Steiner and Page, right?
Yep.
So there was other few other ones.
To me, I mean, it kind of doesn't work out for Vader. I guess kind of does, because he gets to go to WWF and almost be a big star, but obviously politics and other things reared his ugly head, and Vince didn't book him the way he should have been booked. But man, he was booked so much better in WCW. Kind of stunk at this point, because it would have been awesome to see Vader in the Nitro era and then eventually Vader in the NWO feud. I mean, that would have been awesome. So you got some good
matches, he really did.
But the, you know, you got screwed over in WCW.
Yeah, but they were very, very leery about that, about someone hitting an employee, because there was a few complaints where somebody yelled at the production people. Do you know what I mean? So they were, I mean, they were on a, I'm surprised that there wasn't more problems. The guys, I got to tip my hat to them. Most of them were very, and ladies too, most of them were very, very good with the production people.
Did Paul get in any sort of trouble?
No, because he was slapped first. And Paul was just doing his job trying to get him up there. I got to give Vader, Vader, maybe he's running around all day, but he knew he had to do the promo. You know what I mean? He knew. It wasn't that he didn't know the production was going to shut off. Do you know what I mean? And we wouldn't have got his interview in. Then if it didn't draw, he would have said, well, I never got an interview. So.
True. Very true.
Yeah.
So let's run through the Fall Brawl 95 card. First, I'll just talk about I'll quickly go through the pre-show. Big Bubba Rogers defeated Mark Thorne in 1 minute. Disco Inferno defeated Joey Maggs in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Alex Wright defeated Eddie Guerrero, wrestled Eddie Guerrero to a no contest, ended in about 7 minutes. The American Males, Mark Bagwell and Scotty Riggs, defeated the Nasty Boys, Knobs and Sags, in about 4 minutes and 15 seconds. So that's just quickly the main event show, the pre-show before the big card starts. So the big card starts. And they have the video package, and you're teasing a guy that we don't know his name. We don't know who he is, but you're teasing the Giant. What did you think of the Giant, and are we supposed to believe this is Andre the Giant's son?
Well, that's what Hogan wanted. You know, just like the Renegade was going to be a cousin of Ultimate Warrior. You know, he was comfortable working with guys that he had worked with. If he didn't work with him, he wanted some connection to the New York guys.
That same formula he wanted, he thought it could work again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, the Renegade, just thinking about it, it's like everybody immediately, I mean, I'm 13 years old at this point, and all my friends are like, oh, what a rip off the Warrior. I hate this guy. Like, it worked the exact opposite the way he thought it was going to work.
Yeah, and it wasn't fair to that kid. You know what I mean? He thought he was going to be a big star. And, you know, when they beat him and Jimmy wiping the paint off, he just plain old Rick. You know, that was tough for the kid's psyche.
Is it true that the Ultimate Warrior had his logo trademarked so that you guys nobody could use that trademark face paint because it's his logo? That's the Warrior logo. Is that true? Because there was always the weird R face painted on Renegade's face.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was. I mean, I didn't go and check it, but I had heard it, and I'm sure it was. I mean, he changed the name to Warrior, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure it was, yeah.
Yeah, and I know he had that logo is trademarked or whatever, too. So his face paint is actually his logo. So it's pretty smart if you think about it. Like, you can't copy his face paint because you can't copy his logo.
Right. He's a smart businessman, that's for sure.
I never liked the R. It just looked weird, his face paint. I know. And he's not as big as the Warrior. First of all, I don't even think he's as tall, but he's skinnier. He's in good shape, but he's skinnier than the Warrior. It just didn't work out.
No.
Who picked him? Who handpicked him? Hogan?
Either Hogan or Jimmy. Yeah.
Did you like that idea, or are you just going along with it?
No, I did. I had to go along with it. I mean, it was his creation, but I mean, I thought it was a complete ripoff. But in the long run, it might have been Hogan egg playing to Warrior's ego to get him to come back to wrestle. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? He might have just irked him enough that he poked the bear enough times that he came back to wrestle.
Right, absolutely. Or he could have came back and beat the Renegade, and then it's Hogan Warrior again. Yeah, definitely. With the Giant, though, did you like the Andre the Giant stuff? The shirt? The shirt smells like him. Did you like that stuff?
No, not at all. Not at all. But, you know, he was trying to make, and I understand that was my take on it, but Hogan's take, and I understand this too, that he's going to wrestle a kid that's green as grass, never been in a match. He's trying to give the kid as much ammunition as he can have. And on his side of the coin, there were some people that believed he was Andre's son. So I understand why Hogan did it. Did I like it? No. But I understand why he did it.
To me, it's like, I don't remember him having a son. I know he had a daughter. I don't know about him having a son, as far as Andre is concerned. So it was a little bit like, all right. But then you see the guy, you're like, wow, this guy is a physical, like, freak. Like, what a beast this guy is.
Right, right.
Did you have any help or any part in recruiting him at all, or that was all Hogan?
No, that was all Hogan. Hogan saw him at a basketball game or something. And that was it.
That's what I've heard as well, that it was some celebrity basketball game or something, and he saw him and was just, you know, mesmerized by his size, and it's like, I could, you know, I could make money with this guy.
Right, right. I heard the same thing.
What did you think, though? Was he too green, or did you think he was ready for a Hogan feud?
Well, I knew this, that Buddy Lee Parker and
oh, you're muted again. You're on mute.
I got you. So, Buddy Lee Parker and Orndorff and Mike Graham could get him ready because it was going to be a basic match. I knew that. So I wasn't that worried about that. You know, and he worked his ass off, Paul, to get ready to work with Hogan.
With him, though, it's almost like, okay, you're the giant, you're huge, you're a big guy, but it's almost like too much too soon. It's like you're going to feud with the greatest wrestler of all time immediately. Like, I don't know, to me that sounds like, I don't know, it's a little bit like jumping straight into the fire. Like, is that the right thing to do with a guy that young in the business?
Yeah, because if you put him out with anybody else, he's going to be exposed. Hogan knew how to handle that. I don't usually like it, but because Paul being so big, I wouldn't think that anybody else could have the mentality to carry him to what it was. And knowing, I said I didn't like it, but knowing Hogan's mindset was he was going to get the most out of this he possibly could and didn't want any mistakes along the way. If there was a mistake going to be made, it was going to be made by Hulk.
So as far as the show is concerned, the first real match of the show, Johnny B. Badd defeats Brian Pillman in a singles match to determine the number one contender for the WCW United States Championship. The match goes 29 minutes and 15 seconds. Johnny B. Badd gets the win. This match is awesome. Talking about holding up or whatever you want to say, this match is great.
Yeah, it was very good. I remember it was very good. That's why I wish Johnny had never had that gimmick.
What do you mean?
It was too comical. It was too comical. If he had been and gone into his history about being a boxer and what an athlete he was in the long run, it might have helped him in the short run, but in the long run, he would have really been a huge star, I believe.
So he's on the record, Johnny B. Badd, is saying that nobody really thought that this match was going to be that good. And I think Pillman a while ago, I mean, many moons ago, because he died in 1987, but I remember he was not felt slighted, but he was almost like taking it as a challenge that he was getting a half hour with Johnny B. Badd and like, yo, let's see what you could do. And Johnny B. Badd was on record as saying they almost thought like this was a real test, like to just throw him out there for a half hour, that you guys almost not didn't have faith in them, but it's almost like let's see how you guys do, like throwing them right to the fire, 30 minutes opener.
I didn't look at it that way. You didn't want to stink out your pay-per-view, that's for sure.
Right, right, absolutely.
I knew that these guys were capable of going 30 minutes. and I thought it would elevate both of them.
Did you think it was going to be that good? Like, I mean, even Meltzer, I know it doesn't quite matter some to some people, but like he even was like, how great the match was, because yeah, he'll be a stickler on some of the WCW stuff, as you see if you really look at the ratings. I mean, he really pumped up this match.
Well, the two athletic looking guys, they could move, they were fast, and they knew the basics. I knew it was going to be this. I knew it was going to be good. I don't think anybody thought it was going to be that great. They knew it was going to be good. Knew it was going to be very good, but that was a very great match.
Why a half hour? Like, why did you guys decide to give him that much time?
Because we don't want to talk about patents. Usually we started with the fast-paced matches that went about 15, right?
Yep.
So now we're giving 30 minutes of a different type of match, but it's still going to be fast working.
Great back and forth match. I mean, both men showed the high flying arsenal. I mean, they showed agility. They showed so much athleticism in the match. I mean, just really, really great match. And I don't know, maybe surprised some people, really, I think. Johnny B. Badd is, or Mark Mero has gone on record saying probably surprised some people, but it really was like almost like a stamp of like approval on these guys saying like, holy shit, Pillman's great. Whoa, that Johnny B. Badd's not too bad either. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think it showed people that Pillman was able to lead a match. Not discounting Johnny, but Pillman was the guy that was leading that match. I think that Brian didn't get his credit till he became the loose cannon. But Mike Graham's right from the first time he laid eyes on Pillman, said, this kid's a star. This kid's got it. He pushed for him. Ric Flair pushed for him. Very hard. Jim Barnett pushed for him. And all three of those guys knew talent, that's for sure.
So the next match up, that's not the last we're going to hear from Pillman, of course, but the next matchup is not a great one. Craig Pittman defeats Cobra in a minute and 20 seconds. Nothing too great, nothing to write at home about here, but how come only a minute and 20 seconds for Sergeant Craig Pitbull Pittman and Cobra?
Not to knock anybody, but we're just coming off that match. I knew you couldn't have much more time with those guys, and it gave the announcers to pump Pillman and Johnny. They weren't going to fall that match.
And it's really interesting because
let's get Pittman over.
And Pittman comes
there
down
no
the
way
ring.
If you're fall that match, you know,
right,
it only gave him a trouble.
And Pittman comes down to the ring in like a, on the string
Pittman
or whatever.
He comes down the ring what?
From the ceiling. You know, he came down like a, like an Army Ranger.
Yeah. Yeah, he pelts.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
He pelts down, yep.
Pretty cool entrance, but kind of, you know, like a mid-card character. Did you almost think like we should do more with this guy? Were you trying to do more of them? Because that's a pretty, you know, grandiose entrance for a guy like that.
He was very green. He was green. I mean, is he going to follow Pillman and Johnny B. Badd? No. So, we think we could do something with him? Yeah. We're trying to position him in the best light to do something with him. That's why the entrance, and that's why less than 2 minutes match.
If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved.
But it wasn't ready yet.
So then we have a backstage segment with Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff. Speaking of him, he was questioning himself and asking if he's really Mr. Wonderful anymore. So he is an executive. He is working behind the scenes, but he is also still a competitor. And Gary Spivey, the psychic, shows up in a ridiculous-looking outfit, of course, per Gary Spivey. He confronts Paul, and he tells him that he's been Mr. Wonderful the whole time. Paul looks in the mirror, repeats it to himself that he is Mr. Wonderful. Paul kisses his arm, and he stares into the mirror, and then we go back to the ring. Just a very funny, weird segment. Where did this Gary Spivey stuff come from?
That came from the North Tower somewhere down the line. They got involved in him and saddled us with him. And Paul needed something. So we took one of the hottest sitting heels of all times and gave him a comical character, and Paul made it work.
So funny. And remember, not that long ago, I interviewed Gary Spivey and they talked about it. He loved it. He loved wrestling. He loved Hulk. He loved Orndorff. He loved all that stuff.
Yeah. He was easy to work with.
So then we have DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, with the Diamond Doll and Max Muscle, defeated the Renegade to win the WCW Television Championship in about 8 minutes. Not terrible here, but you know, DDP had to carry Renegade. I mean, there's no secret about that. What do you think about that? DDP goes over Renegade, wins the TV title. I guess it's kind of like a deep push there for the Renegade, who was, you know, beat Arn for the TV title and was on a bit of a roll.
Yeah, it was giving Page a push now. He's going to get a push.
Was this like marking the end of the push for the Renegade?
Yes. Because I think we had in the back of our minds that Warrior is coming.
So with that, DDP, did you like where he was at this point? Because I know we joked around about this before, about how many gimmicks he had. Not only did he do the gum and the glasses, but he had Diamond Doll and Max Muscle.
Yeah, I didn't like that. You know, too much. He had medallions. He had the fur coat. He had cigars. He had a guy and a girl. What was he going to have next to the lion, a tiger, bears, oh my? I mean, He became the working man, the blue collar guy. Simple.
With that, though, too, I think at one point Max Muscle was holding up signs. I don't think it was on this show, but he was at one point holding up signs like 10 when DDP would do something great. So it was like, man, they were adding in so many layers and gimmicks to his character. It was too much.
Yeah, of course it was. He didn't. And I would talk to him about it, but it didn't matter. He just knew, add more and more and more. Till he finally, either Nash, I think it was Hall, said to him, what are you doing? Less is more. So he finally took it from Hall or Nash or both of them and he drew money. He wouldn't have drawn it his way.
The funny thing is, I think he was most over when he was just wearing jeans and had the you know, the wrap around his stomach.
That's
that was
what
it.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Less is more. He became the blue collar guy, not the, you know, he'd been selling beanies next.
So, Diamond Dell was obviously Kimberly, Max Muscle. Did you ever see anything in him? I mean, obviously a huge guy, but, you know, a little green, not that great. Did you ever see anything in Max Muscle?
Yeah, if he had gone to the power plant more often, you know what I mean? There were some guys, very nice guy, but there's some guys that thought back in that era, because they were jacked, they didn't need to learn how to work. And I'm not saying he was one of them, but I don't remember him being at the power plant a lot. I could be wrong.
So then the next match, Harlem Heat, Booker T and Stevie Ray with Sister Sherry defeated Bunkhouse Buck and Dick Slater of the Stud Stable with Colonel Robert Parker in a match for the WCW World Tag Team Championships. They win the title in about 16 minutes and 49 seconds. It wasn't that great. Not as good as you would think with Buck Slater and the Harlem Heat involved. It's just, I don't know. It was okay, but wasn't as good as you thought. It was almost like too much stuff with Sherry and Parker. Almost like, I don't know, too much gaga in that match for it to be as good as it should have been.
Sometimes you put things on paper and you think, oh, this is going to steal the show. And you're right. Too much gaga. Not enough serious heat, because once they start to get serious heat, they would do something, get a little laugh in the match. Just one of those things that didn't work the way it should have for fabulous workers. The next time out, they would stole the show. But it was just that one time it didn't work. You can never tell.
Yep. And after the match, Colonel Robert Parker and Sister Sherry are kissing. They're continuing to kiss because they were kind of distraction. And they're celebrating, and Parker is celebrating because Sherry won, but his team just lost. So it's really creating some tension with the Stud Stable that he's kissing the other manager and loving on her, but they just lost, so he shouldn't be happy, but he is.
Right, right.
Did you like that pairing, Parker and Sherry together?
Yes, because Robert's a very entertaining as Colonel Parker. And Sherry is fabulous. Fabulous.
Next matchup is what some people consider maybe Flair's last, like, true classic match. I don't know about that because you had WrestleMania 24 against Shawn Michaels many years later. But Arn Anderson, shockingly, in North Carolina, defeats Ric Flair in a singles match, obviously, here. Match goes 22 minutes and 30 seconds. Very, very, very good match. I love this match. Shocked by the finish as Brian Pillman comes out of the crowd, kicks Flair in the back of the head. Arn nails a DDT, and Arn gets the victory. Huge, shocking victory, as there were so many wrestlers in the crowd because they were shocked that Arn and Flair were actually going to have a match. I mean, there was going to be this huge thing. It was a huge deal. It's actually the match on the show that I was looking forward to. I remember as a fan, even more so than the War Games main event, just because that really had me interested. Flair and Arn are actually going to fight. Like, this is unbelievable. Like, what's going to happen here? Please make up beforehand. Nope. Arn obviously will be the main heel in the process here as Pillman turns heel and cheats. So Arn and Pillman leave, and they beat up Flair. Awesome stuff here. What do you think about Arn beating Flair here in 22 minutes, 30 seconds?
The only way he could do it, people were buzzing the next day. To me, that was the main event. And I wanted to give him something to talk about. And you couldn't have two better pros in the ring than Arn and Rick.
I don't know. I love this match, maybe even more so than others, but I just really love this match. I thought it was a great match between these two, almost more so like shocking that it was happening. I know, like, months leading into it, there was a lot of tensions because of Hogan, because of Savage, even because of Vader. They had a 2-on-1 match against Vader, a Clash of the Champions, and they ended up losing because Arn and Flair had a miscommunication. So, I mean, it was built up very well, but it's just shocking to see the Horsemen actually having a match here. Very cool stuff.
Right, right, and it worked out perfectly.
Did you have it in your mind that Flair was going to join back up with them and they're going to reform the Horsemen? Was that always in the back of the mind here?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was never. Why would you break them up? One of the most successful groups of all times. Why would you break them up when you have new blood coming in with Pillman?
So Arn and Pillman are together. Eventually, Flair will turn on Sting, who becomes their, you know, their feud, which is awesome. Love that turn. I love that match, which we'll talk, which we have talked about another time about Halloween Havoc. Check that out in the archives. But obviously, Pillman and then Benoit will join the group. It's one of my favorite Horsemen. I love that one. They didn't get a long enough run, but Flair, Arn, Pillman, and Benoit. Love those four together.
I did too.
Obviously, didn't get a long enough run here, but was everybody shocked just in the back that Flair lost to Arn, or, you know, because you would think Flair would get the win here, but it was pretty shocking. Or was, you know, everybody's on board with it?
Of course, everybody's on board with it. Arn's a great, great performer. I mean, he was the meat of the Four Horsemen. He should have gone over, and it was good to send that kind of message.
And as far as obviously Flair, the turn was in. They were getting ready to turn. So, just, and I love the setup. A great setup and great start to the Four Horsemen being put back together.
Well, we didn't ever think they were going to be separated for a long time. It was just, it made Arn that much, the spotlight on that much more.
So now we have the main event of the evening, Team Hogan, the Hulkamaniacs versus the Dungeon of Doom. Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, Lex Luger, and Sting with Jimmy Hart defeated the Dungeon of Doom, Kamala, Zodiac, The Shark, and Ming with, of course, yourself, the Taskmaster. And they win War Games in about 18 minutes and 45 seconds. Nothing great here. Not terrible either. But what do you think about this team? Obviously, Lex Luger ended up replacing Vader. But Hogan, Savage, Luger, and Sting, it's like an all-star team against the Dungeon of Doom of Kamala, Zodiac, of course, who was Beefcake, Ming, and the Shark.
Yeah, it's like the 1927 Yankees playing the Omaha Hammers. I mean, it was for them to shine. Based upon it, and it was for Hogan to feel comfortable that he was in charge.
So the Hulkamaniacs get the win, but the win would mean that Hulk gets 5 minutes alone with you if he won. So that was like the pre-match step, which was an interesting step. What was up with the finish with Zodiac? Like, did it's like, you know, the corny thing he would do, yes, no, yes, no. So, yes, he submitted. No, he didn't. Yes, it was, I don't know, it was corny on the finish.
Yeah, I mean, there was a corny character anyway, right?
Yeah, it's awful.
And it was Hulk's friend to have a way out.
Months later, Hulk and him would be together, and it was awfully explained by Hulk, but he goes, oh, he was with me the whole time. He infiltrated the Dungeon of Doom. I was like, oh, that made no sense. Like, none of that made sense.
No.
All his idea, I'm guessing?
Yeah. All those guys were his guys. And they were all great guys, and they all drew big money with him in New York, but it was a different time, you know? The one that could have still drawn a lot of money with him was Ming.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was like the one that, not the captain of the team, but kind of like the captain of the team for this team, it seemed like.
Yeah, he was.
So, I don't know. To me, the Dungeon of Doom, like we said, it's like a corny team, corny characters. I don't think the fans, like you said, 95,000, not a lot of people into it. I don't know if they were really buying that team, even being able to beat that super team of the Hulkamaniacs.
They knew they couldn't. It was just for Hulk to get a win. I'm sure it was also to placate some of his friends. And he got what he wanted out of it.
So, of course, he gets 5 minutes alone with you. He thinks he's going to kick your ass and take you out. Then the giant comes out and absolutely destroys him. He actually does a nice little jump over the top rope to show you, like, holy shit, this guy, 7 foot, whatever he is, has athletic ability, you know, at the yin yang, and ends up, quote unquote, breaking Hogan's neck. You know, he does the snap of the neck. What do you think about that? Was that just a perfect introduction of him? And, you know, obviously to save your ass from getting beat by Hogan.
Yeah, I think that was the only thing he could do that he could handle at the time. He looked like he was athletic as hell, and Hogan sold for him because he knew where he was going. So it was good. It was very good, I thought.
So that was kind of like the big thing then. It's like, okay, now the Dungeon of Doom maybe has like a legitimate threat to Hulk, because he's beaten all the other guys in the past. You know, there's no way you're beating Hulk. Like, this guy seems like an actual threat to Hulk. Like, okay, shit, now the Dungeon of Doom have something here with this giant.
Yeah.
Did you want the announcers to keep saying it's on for his son?
No, but they were going to say it anyway. I'm sure Hulk buzzed them.
So it seemed like, okay, yeah, the match is what it is. It was okay, nothing bad, but it was really built as an angle for you and Hogan and you to get your comeuppance, and then the giant obviously comes in and attacks Hogan, and you know he's wearing what it looks like to be Andre's singlet and stuff. So, I mean, obviously, he wants Hogan Andre too, basically.
Exactly what we talked about before.
Yep.
Anything that worked in New York, he was going to do again.
I think the big takeaways for me of just Hogan in the match is, like, they all got the fatigues on and the war paint, and, you know, he's got the flag, so he's, like, as if, you know, it's really going to war games. The guys were so over the top, the promos, all the face paint that they were all wearing. I mean, funny stuff. I mean, good stuff for sure.
Yeah, but it was too over the top for where we were going.
Yeah. Yep.
But he was getting feel comfortable, so let him feel comfortable, because we're going to ask him to do the biggest turn in the history of the business.
And there's a moment in the match where they tease tension with Luger and Savage, which obviously you guys are going to build up too, as you're really building him up, like, how the hell can we trust this guy? He's so untrustworthy. He clotheslines Savage in the match, and it's funny. People thought it was a screw-up. There's no way it's a screw-up. It's almost like he hesitates and then hits Savage. He didn't screw up. He did that on purpose to make it look like, oh, he hesitated. Oh, wait, but he really hit him. Like, it made it look like he's 50-50. Can we trust this guy? Wait, we can't trust this guy.
Right.
I love Luger that. Like, great. We talked about that before. I just love that character, because it's like, holy shit, Luger, he's such an asshole, but Sting likes him. Like, Sting trusts him, like, but he's such an asshole.
Yeah.
So what do you think overall of the show?
In the middle, because of Arn and Rick and because of Pillman. Headed towards down because the main event was not what it should have been. But it got a lot accomplished.
Hey, they say WCW didn't create new stars except for Goldberg. What about the Giant? He was booked way better in WCW than it was in WWF. I mean, Vince ruined him right off the bat. He wasn't really the same ever since, right. But WCW created him, made him a huge star.
Right.
So, well, let's...
He worked hard in it, too.
Yeah, I just think that the Giant was definitely a big, big star for WCW that was created by WCW, and Vince didn't book him as well. But let's head towards the plugs. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. And, of course, Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com. Visit the Kevin Sullivan store. You could, of course, follow Kevin on Instagram at Taskmaster Talks. And then, of course, you could follow me on Patreon, patreon.com/TMPTEmpire. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. We'll see you right back here next week for a little Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. We'll see you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother. If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. The madness has officially begun, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props. MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie and use the promo code TASKMASTER to secure a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's simple, folks. Put in $200 and play with $300. Just use the promo code TASKMASTER and claim your bonus. College ball, NBA, and UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. And with the choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Just don't forget to use that promo code TASKMASTER. Remember, you can bet anything, you can bet anytime, you can bet anywhere with MyBookie.
The action is sensational here at Fall Brawl. We still have the Nature Boy Ric Flair against Arn Anderson, and still the Ultimate Battleground, the most dangerous match in WCW coming up. But coming up in the month of October, it's our October tradition. You never know what's going to happen at Halloween Havoc. And Halloween Havoc this year will be coming once again from the Motor City in Detroit. That's right. World Championship Wrestling presents Halloween Havoc Sunday, October 29th, live and exclusively on pay-per-view. Call your local cable operator for availability and join us at Halloween Havoc. That should be exciting, Brain.
Well, if you think about it, think about the Dungeon of Doom, if there's anything left of them, which I think there will be, and the Taskmaster. What do you think his little pranks would be like for Halloween Havoc? You think it's just trick or treat?
No.
No. They mean business. And right now, Tony, believe me, what's going on between Arn Anderson and Ric Flair, like Ric Flair said, he loves that man, but he's going to teach that man something. Well, I'll guarantee you, the Dungeon of Doom and Hogan's people, there's no love there. It's total out-and-out hatred. And this place is going to erupt tonight. This place may be a parking lot tomorrow when they're done.
The Ultimate Battleground will be coming up a little bit later on. The double cage will lower over both rings, and they will go in basically one at a time until all eight men are in. The coin toss during Fall Brawl War Games certainly is a key, because one coin toss will either give the Dungeon of Doom or give the Hulkamaniacs a one-man advantage. All right, Mean Gene Okerlund right now is standing by with a man who's just about set to go with the match of his life. We're talking about the enforcer, Arn Anderson. Gene, take it away.
All right, Tony, I apologize. I didn't realize we're going to be a mile and a half run. I felt like Roger Bannister coming up from that. Arn Anderson, come on in. Before I talk to you regarding your matchup with Ric Flair, I want you to take a look at some of the history between the two of you that has taken place. Let's go.
Family ties have been severed between Ric Flair and Arn Anderson, and there is no turning back. Arn had done his best to help Ric Flair continue to hang on. As Ric Flair hides behind the enforcer, fans could sense that there were problems in the Horseman stable. The first time could be forgiven. This time was not forgotten. Vader felt the quick. He used the turmoil between these two and capitalized on it. It was quite obvious that the problems were more than just a family tiff. Something was wrong.
Look at Arn Anderson. I know we didn't leave the match the way we wanted to.
There's nobody to blame here.
Was it all okay between Double A and Ric Flair? Ric Flair looked as if he was taking advantage of a good situation as he left Double A in the ring the majority of the time. Has Ric Flair lost his drive? Since Hulk Hogan has arrived, Flair has not been the competitor of old. His obsession to be number one has caused problems in the home front and alienated him from his friends. And now, Ric Flair has been pushed harder than ever to prove himself a champion. When Ric faced Alex Wright, it was apparent that Double A wanted Flair to show that he still had the drive to excel. The flamboyant Nature Boy then ran off at the mouth. Arn let out his frustration in a candid interview.
Got everything in the world. You should be floating on cloud nine. I don't know what's wrong.
Fans deserve to hear more. Arn's wife let the cameras into their home. Arn's explosion continued on. Soon after, fans walked up to an unexpected locker room shouting match.
He's got a match, all right. It's not out there. Let me explain something. Flair just went out the back door. He's left me again.
Double A, I think you know what you are. That's why you're in the ring with me at Fall Brawl. What I got to do to you, pal, is prove why I've been where I've been for a while. Woo!
There is no longer time for understanding. Families often hurt the ones they love most. This time, there's no way to patch things up. The family feud you never thought you'd see has come to a reality. Ric Flair and Arn Anderson on opposing sides, riding in different directions, but colliding on the same course at Fall Brawl.
Gene Okerlund, whether you hate me, whether you love me, whether you respect me or you don't respect me, the one thing I've always given everybody is I've always called a spade a spade. I've either loved with a passion or I've hated with a passion and with a vengeance. And everybody has had a family member at one time or the other that was messing up. And you had to grab them and you had to shake them because words no longer mattered. Well, Ric Flair, I've been back here. My stomach has been in knots. My heart's been pounding out of my chest, and I wouldn't be telling the truth if I didn't tell you I'm a nervous wreck because I got to trade fists with somebody that I love more than God itself. You understand? You've been a brother to me when I didn't have one. Now I got to go trade fists with you. But it's something that's got to happen because when I get up in the morning and look in that mirror, I got to answer to me. And if you don't stand up in this world, all a man can do is stand up and live by his word, right or wrong. Tonight, I give Asheville, I give the world, and I give you, Ric Flair, my word on this. I'm going to give you all I got as a man, and win, lose, or draw. Trust me, I'm going to respect myself in the morning, and you're going to respect me.
All right, the man is headed to the ring. I'd asked Ric Flair earlier if he loved or hated Arn Anderson. Yes, he loved him, and he loved him for many years, but apparently both of these men have to meet tonight in what I suspect is going to be a classic match. Everywhere I have gone, people are abuzz about this one. Tony Schiavone, I'd like an assessment from you and Bobby the Brain Heenan. What do you think?
Well, Gene, first of all, let me say it was in the mid-1980s when professional wrestling saw its boom. It went worldwide. Packed arenas, jam-packed arenas all across the country. Many, many weeks, this arena, the Asheville Civic Center, was jam-packed with the likes of the Nature Boy Ric Flair and Arn Anderson. They were always on the same team. The fans here love both men. They've hated both men, but they've respected both men. Now, for the first time ever, they will see these two classic wrestlers go at it one-on-one.
It's very simple. It's like that old saying goes, tonight, either wrestle or get off the mat.
Arn Anderson said he was nervous. We are all nervous right now. As we go to David Penter, the match we'd never thought we'd see.